the difference in how all of this comes about now, how activities and programs at the Center for Alaskan Coastal Studies happen now, is so different than last year. Well, not this time, about this time last year, everything changed. And so I was wondering about the Wind Nature Center. And I still know plenty of people who love going up there, but how has visitation or participation in person or the lack of it affected the Wind Nature Center? Either Henry or Beth, you can direct that question anywhere you like.
I think I could address that one pretty good. I will give a little more. I cut out on Beth, so I don't know if she would have mentioned any of this before, but just that Inspiring Girls Reach for the Sea Stars is open to any student in Homer 4th through 8th grade or outside of Homer being digital. You just register on our Eventbrite, you get a Zoom link, and you can jump in at any time on that program.
Oh, good to know. So it doesn't have a specific opening and closing date. It's ongoing.
Yeah, so it's nice if people jump in at the beginning, but we record every session. So they could look at a recording of those. The packets themselves function independently. You could just follow a packet on your own. Or people could jump in next Tuesday, and they might not have data on their own, but they can hear from all the other students what they've been seeing, ask questions, start to think about that kind of stuff. And then on the 23rd, we start a new session, which will be on tracking and animal adaptations in winter.
Oh, fun.
So there's always a jumping in point. Yeah. I think at the Wind, we've actually been seeing a decent amount of people up there. We're only running one community program right now, which would be our Wind Family Sunday Fun Days, which are from 1 to 3 every Sunday. There's a schedule out because each one changes what's being focused on. And families can come up from 1 to 3. And the way that we're kind of doing that this year is there will be activities, but largely people can, if they want to, do these things on their own or join in with our naturalist. And then there we'll have a couple campfires going, s'mores camps, which are pre-put together to make sure people aren't really handling food much outside of that, and run the activity. And it's a good chance for people to come up. The other side of that is, while we're there, people can just come up if they want a snowshoe. We have a supply of snowshoes up there, and you can check some out for that period and just head out on the trails. I actually think we've been having a lot of activity up on our Wind this year because of the good snow we're getting, and a lot of people utilizing those trails for snowshoeing or even walking around. Last time I was up there, the trails were actually pretty packed down, and I didn't wear them. If you step off the trail, you'd maybe get yourself in a little bit of trouble, but on the trail, I wasn't wearing them.
Oh, you mean you would sink down to your knees in snow?
Oh, yeah. We got over 3 feet up at the Wind. That's another thing. We got some interns, and I heard a call out for me and Shannon doing nighttime sea star surveys. We got a few monitoring interns through the Semester by the Bay program who actually helped us out with those this year and who are doing a little more complex version of snow tracking up at the Wind. So we're sitting just a little over 3 feet right now, but we haven't checked since the snow yesterday, so even a little bit more.
Great, and I want to move on to Coastwalk, but I think I heard Beth Trowbridge start to break in there. Was there something you want to add?
I was just going to add that we also have snowshoes down at our office, so people can come in and rent, borrow snowshoes from the headquarters as well if they don't go up on Sunday. So it seems like we're just seeing a lot of people taking advantage of the snow and getting outside with their families and individuals. So I just wanted to make sure that people knew that was available.
Thanks. And one more for Henry. I'd like to hear about the Coast Walk program. And can you explain to people what it is?
Yeah. Right. So Coast Walk is a longtime coastal studies program dating back to 1984. And the goal of Coast Walk is to do a couple of things. One goal is to capture essentially a snapshot of the environment around Kachemak Bay. So we collect environmental data on what animals are you seeing, what intertidal animals, what kelps are you seeing, is there erosion, what's the substrate, what's the temperature, what's the weather. So all these kind of things that just serve as a snapshot because it's done each September and October to gather that. And then the other piece to it is a marine debris cleanup. And so we are going out and cleaning beaches. People can adopt beaches on their own. And we collect data. So we collect data in terms of pounds overall. But something that's a little unique about this cleanups is that we also collect item data. And so that lets us take a look at, you know, what kind of marine debris issues are we facing? Because it's different anywhere you go. Are we seeing lots of a certain type of item? Is it kind of spread out? Is a lot of stuff where clearly this is just from people out on the beaches? Is a lot of stuff drifting in from other areas? Is it fishing? You know, all these kind of questions that would change how you address marine debris, we're able to look at because we're collecting specific data on what is found and in what locations and how much. It's also just kind of a cool opportunity to get out there. We divide the bay into 32 different zones that somebody can adopt and just go out and walk and collect this data. And then we also do community cleanups. In our typical year, we had some school cleanups this year, but did not have near our typical. It was just so that was a little bit of a change to Coastwalk this year. But even with those changes, we had over 150 people participate in Coastwalk this year at various cleanups, whether that be with some of the classes that did come out, people joining us for a scheduled cleanup, or just going out and adopting a zone and walking on their own. We still had a lot of people going out there, looking at covering about 27 miles of beach during the cleanup period.
Awesome.
The other thing that we saw a little bit... Yeah?
No, go ahead.
Sure. This year is just... we had fewer hours on the beach, but we also saw significantly less. We collected 859 pounds of marine debris this year.
That was my question.
A little bit over, but right around 859. Yeah, so we had 859, which is down a considerable amount from previous years. Some of this is just going to be coverage, but it also seemed like there were areas where we just weren't seeing as much.
So, Henry, I want to break in for just a moment because Willie is on the line, I think. Willie Dunn, are you there?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, can hear you just fine. Go ahead.
Great. Hey, well, thanks so much for this coffee table. I've been out shoveling snow at my home, listening to the discussion about snow education. It's really great. We've got several inches of beautiful, fluffy white snow here now, and it reminded me of another program that has been some local groups have participated in here. The Ketchumak Nordic Ski Club and the Alaska Quiet Rights Coalition works with the Winter Wildlands Association, and they have a snow school, they call it. So I'd encourage the Center for Coastal Studies to look into that option to add that to their curriculum on snow. And I also wanted to just say thanks so much to everybody participating today. That the Center for Coastal Studies just does fantastic work in educating our kids about science and nature and our natural surroundings.
Can you hear anything?
So important. I when I first got to Homer, moved here full-time in the 80s, I volunteered for the Center for Coastal Studies quite a bit, and I learned so much. It's just a fantastic organization. So wonderful program. Thanks, guests, and hope more and more local people will join in the educational programs. Thanks.
Thanks so much. That's Willie Dunn, and I have a feeling you guys did not hear that, Beth Trowbridge. Is that right?
That's right.
We caught the tail end of what he said, but I don't know if he had any questions or what else he said.
Well, I'll make sure to get information he was recommending about a snow school that Ketchumak Nordic Ski Club participates in, and a couple of other people, because it made him think about all the snow projects that you have going on. Now, I want to give, let's bring Shannon into this for sure. Travel with me now to Peterson Bay Field Station. First of all, who wants to set it up and let people know where Peterson Bay Field Station is and what it is?
I can go ahead and jump in there. So our Peterson Bay Field Station is just on the other side of the bay, right next to Peterson Bay. And it is a field station that is set up it's near Otter Rock, if anyone kind of knows that general area, right behind Gull Island. And so when we're going across the bay, we typically, if we're with visitors, we make a stop at Gull Island in the summertime because it's an incredible seabird rookery. And there's just always a lot of action going on there. It's a really neat place to visit. And then going across and to our field station, we have a campus set up that is a building and then five heated yurts that sleep six people each. And so typically what we're doing is we open it up in the springtime. Right now everything is closed up because it's winter and it's kind of hard to access over there and it's not particularly warm. But in the springtime, we open it up and we have school groups come over. And we're typically doing two-night, three-day trips over there with school groups. And we look at intertidal ecology. We do a forest hike. The land right behind us is owned by the Seldovia Native Association. And so we are really, really thankful for that partnership and the opportunity that we have to use the trails on that beautiful area kind of right behind where we're located. And so we have school programs that go over during the months of April and May. And then in the summertime, we open it up to some visiting groups and then also day tours that go over for people who are interested in going over and doing a little bit of tide pooling, going on a forest hike, learning about the forest ecology in that location, and then some other fun things too. We love doing plankton toes, learning about plankton toes are awesome. What we do with plankton toes is we have a special net that we take out to our dock, and it's this really, really fine mesh, and what we're doing with that is dragging it through the water, and it is filtering out any plankton that is in the water. That might be our phytoplankton, our plant plankton. It might be zooplankton, which is everything from animals that are always really small to animals that are just in their larval stage that we will eventually see in tide pools. So you can find things like tiny crabs, tiny sea stars, sometimes even some really tiny fish. And that is a really important part of what we do over there for a couple of reasons. It's something that we do with our school groups to kind of learn a little bit about the food cycle of the ocean. Our plankton is kind of, you know, the base of the food chain. It's incredibly important. But we also partner with the Kachemak Bay Research Reserve. And during their summertime harmful algal bloom toes, they take samples weekly. And they use that to kind of get an idea of if there are any toxic algal blooms that are happening in the bay. And that information is combined with information from people who are sampling from all over the bay. And it's sent out as a way to kind of see if there's going to be any risk to harvesting mussels or clams or anything like that.
And for the plans for Peterson Bay Station coming up this summer, spring and summer, are you going to be able to take people over there, just fewer people, or how is that going to work?
Yeah, that's what we're currently looking at. We, unfortunately, last year, our spring season was pretty much completely cut out, but we were able to run some summer programs over there doing exactly what you said. We had lower numbers. We have kind of moved all of our operations outside, which thankfully was pretty easy since most of them were already outside. But we have a covered pavilion over there that anytime we had groups over there, we just kind of made sure that all of our meals were outside. So that, you know, makes things incredibly, or a lot easier at least. And we have been requiring masks for anyone who is over there. So the nice thing is when you're out and you're tide pooling and you're away from everyone, it's not something that you absolutely have to have. And then whenever we're kind of gathering back together to look at something, we just make sure that everyone has a mask on. We've been going through and cleaning things really thoroughly, multiple times a day. we're just doing everything we can to try to mitigate the risk of the virus. So we were able to have day tours last year. We had a couple of smaller visiting groups come over, and that's exactly what we're hoping for this summer as well. And we're also keeping our fingers crossed for doing a couple of school programs. We have a few school groups that, as long as everything works out with district plans and guidelines, several schools that we're hoping we can get over there for some overnight trips, which we're really excited about. And after everything we were doing last summer, we're feeling pretty good about being able to do that safely. We also invested in a couple of outdoor heaters, so that will make things a lot easier too for those kind of early spring trips when it's a little bit chillier outside. We're going to do what we can to keep everyone warm, but also appropriately distanced.
And I know sometimes Peterson Bay Field Station, does it house researchers as well sometimes? Or am I thinking of Kositsna Bay?
Sometimes. You're probably thinking a little more about Kositsna Bay. We do have some people come over and use the facilities every once in a while, but it's probably a little more common over at Kositsna Bay for researchers to really come and do a lot of work.
And I want to find out, what am I leaving out about Peterson Bay? Because I want to bring Beth Trowbridge back into the conversation so we can talk a little bit about breaking these programs down. What is available for students? What is available for people who want to just get out there and have fun? What kind of citizen science opportunities are there? But I want to make sure that we've covered your work at Peterson Bay. I doubt if we could take a whole hour to do that, I bet.
In the spring and summer, yeah, we probably could. Like I said, there's not a lot that's going on over there at the moment, other than us kind of going over, and we pop in to do some SeaStar surveys over the course of the winter. But it is an incredible place in the spring, summer, and even the fall. And as Katie was mentioning earlier, with our SeaStar surveys, we've had the opportunity to involve a lot of community members in those, and that's something that we are really hoping to continue as we kind of move back into our busier time. So that's an incredible opportunity for people to not only get to go over and experience that area if they haven't before, but also to participate in some really incredible and really important community science. So that's something that we are certainly hoping to continue once we get back into the summer.
Thanks. That's Shannon Moore, school coordinator and Peterson Bay Field Station coordinator for the Center for Alaskan Coastal Studies. We are about 9 minutes, 8 minutes away from the end of the show, but this is where I would like to throw it to Beth Trowbridge, executive director, so that we can break apart all the information. It's kind of a tangle right now, the things we've discussed, the things that are available for students, then the things that are available for recreation and citizen science. Beth, can you help untangle all that for me and get people connected to programs at the Center for Alaskan Coastal Studies?
Sure. You know, there's a reason why we have the octopus as our logo, because it's got so many tentacles and everything is intertwined, and that's kind of how Coastal Studies is. But for students, I mean, we are actively doing the Science and Art Action Club and the Inspiring Youth to Reach for the SeaStar program, after school program that Henry is leading, and so that's available to you know, fourth through eighth graders, eighth grade students. And we have in the past offered an after school program for kindergarten through third grade, but with schools not in session, you know, we just didn't have a demand. But that's something that there is a demand for that service, and for, you know, parents that want their kids to get outside after school, and that in that age group, we, you know, we're ready to start that program again if there's a demand now that schools are back in session. Also, as part of Henry's program, we have those weekend, those once a month multi-generational opportunities. So that's an opportunity for families to come together and do like the snow science event, or, you know, whatever the topic is. So that's something that we'll advertise, and that's an opportunity for families to get out. Like Shannon said, we have some, you know, we have school programs that we're hoping that we'll be doing in April and May. And then the other thing is, you know, we will be running our day camp program this summer. We will be running our summer camps, and we've already had, you know, five or six people sign up for our marine mammal camp at Peterson Bay for August. So those things are available coming into summer, as well as our, you know, we'll be doing our drop-in programs. So and then we are doing some virtual, virtual programs with teachers and parents. So, so those are things that are available for students. Recreation, we love having the Wind Nature Center, open all winter long for the community to hike and snowshoe. So that's something that, I just really encourage people to continue to use that, that facility to get out and, even though we don't staff the cabin, except for on that Sunday from 1 to 3 right now, we have, the outside pavilion, you can borrow snowshoes, you can just get out and enjoy the outdoors there, all winter long. So that's a great recreational opportunity for the community.
And
citizen science. I mean, right now, I know that if anybody was interested in contributing to any of the phenology or snow science that Henry is leading up, we would be more than happy to show somebody how to do it. We'd love to get more, data and more people out there doing it. We're also encouraging people to participate in like the backyard bird count that Cornell School of Ornithology does, and that's starting soon. And those would probably be the opportunities for right now, aside from doing, Coast Walk in the fall and some opportunities in the summer to contribute to the, we'll be doing some more Sea Star Wasting community involvement, surveys once summer comes around. But I think that's it. Kate, or Shannon and Henry, you can pipe in if I've missed anything.
Let me ask for any final comments or things you feel like we've missed, and I'll go right down the line. Henry, what have we left out? Or if you have any final comments, go for it.
No, I was just hearing what Beth was saying. So as far as our program's going right now, good to me.
Well, great. Okay. Well, that's Henry Riske, Wind Nature Center and Coast Walk Coordinator, Shannon Moore, School Coordinator, and Peterson Bay Field Station Coordinator. Anything you'd like to add?
One other thing that we don't have set in stone yet, but we are definitely hoping to do, and Beth, I'm sorry if you mentioned this, I may not have heard it, but we are hoping during, now that school is back in session, during the days that people are not in school, so any in-service days or school holidays, we're hoping to be able to offer some community programs those days too. So it might be, a guided tide pooling day or something happening up at the Wynn. So I would definitely encourage people to keep an eye out for that via our Facebook page or our email newsletter. As soon as we have things like that planned, we will try to get the word out and let people know how they can register to join in with that.
Thanks so much. That's Shannon Moore. And Katie Gavanis, any final comments?
No, we're just looking forward to continuing to work with the Homer and broader Kachemak Bay community in whatever ways we can, and encourage people to reach out to us to find out more, or if you have an idea of something that we could be doing to connect with you and share the amazing ecology of this beautiful place where we all live.
Thanks. That's Katie Gavanis, who is the program director at the Center for Alaskan Coastal Studies. And Beth Trowbridge, executive director, any final word from you?
No, I just, I just feel so thankful for, being a part of this community and being able to do what we do. And I'm just so thankful to be able to continue to give people the opportunity to, get outside and explore Kachemak Bay. Thanks for giving us that opportunity and for supporting us as much as the community does. So we're really appreciative of that.
Well, thanks so much to all the members from the Center for Alaskan Coastal Studies. Beth Trowbridge, Executive Director, Katie Gavanis, Program Director, Henry Riske, Wind Nature Center and Coast Walk Coordinator, and Shannon Moore, School Coordinator, and Peterson Bay Field Station Coordinator. Thanks to everyone, and you'll be able to see or hear this coffee table on our website this afternoon and forever after. And there'll be a picture of a sunflower star and links to the Center for Alaskan Coastal Studies. I'm Kathleen Gustafson, and this has been The Coffee Table. Thanks to Willie for calling in, and thanks for listening, Kachemak Bay.